till you hear the beat knocking. Yeah. 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 Welcome to the Talking About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. Listen, I know you got so many choices for your information, for your entertainment. So, whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your day here with me. Give it up for yourselves. Give it up for yourselves. Give it up for yourselves. Listen, I am so happy to be here chilling with you guys, ready to kick it, ready to talk some wrestling. Been meaning to get into this TNA Hard to Kill review for a little bit. Couple of days was very, very, very busy weekend. There was a lot of stuff, a lot of fun stuff going on in the wrestling world. And I'm glad that, you know, I finally got around. Listen, I had planned to do this on Saturday night. I had wanted to go up right after the show was over to, you know, give you my instant reaction, react to the show immediately. But you know actually what I found? I found that it's better to wait in many cases. It's better to wait and to not be first, right? But to be accurate, to let the dust settle, give yourself time to react so you can, you know, speak on things more unemotionally, right? And so you can, you know, get kind of a review of what's been going on. And I think that's probably actually better in this situation too, because Hard to Kill was a great show. It was a fun show. But there is a lot to react to. And yeah, we're going to get into it. So I know you guys have seen a bunch of people probably already put up their reactions, and that's great. That's great. Cheers for those guys. Shout out to everybody who already got the reaction up nice and promptly. But you haven't heard my take yet. So you're going to hear my take, and you're going to hear how I you know, my thoughts on some of the post-show things, right? Some of the things happened after the show. Some of the things that maybe, no spoilers, I'm not going to give you any spoilers about anything that happened in the days after, but there's some stuff that's been circulating on social media that just information that I think is worth reacting to. So TNA, Hard to Kill review, we're going to get into it in just a second, but before we get started, please do me a favor, hit the like button on that on this post. Hit the subscribe button so you're subscribed to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. And if you're listening to this on a pod, the most important thing you can do is share it with somebody. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. And yeah, let's keep it going. So TNA Hard to Kill took place on Saturday night. And I got to tell you, the first thing that caught my eye about this, I loved the show open, right? They really captured the feeling. I thought they capitalized on everything that people were anticipating leading up to this moment. I love the part where they do the pre-tape and then they kind of cut to Eric Young with the live mic walking out into the arena, and you've got the crowd energy. And I got to tell you, I love this style of intro. I've thought to myself for the longest time, for those of you guys that don't know, I'm a TV producer by trade. So being that I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, I often think to myself, you know, what would I do if I were producing a wrestling show? And one of the things I've always wanted to do is that type of live open where you go to a person, a host of some sort, who, you know, the lights come up and they're like, welcome to this episode of the show. And they're just walking, doing like a walk and talk and talking about some of the things you're going to see, getting you excited. And I love that touch of walking into the arena with the live crowd and just showing their reaction, just getting ready to give that energy for the show. I would do this on every single show. I would open every episode of Impact like that because nobody else is doing that. Nobody else. No other wrestling show is opening their show like that. And that's something that immediately is going to set you apart from all the other shows out there. That's something that's going to set you apart from every other program that's a different style, and you want to have a different flavor. You want to give your show a different feeling, and doing something like that to me is a great way to get your show kicked off, right? And capture the viewer, capture their attention and say, hey, this is going to be something that's different from any other wrestling show that you watch. Another thing I loved is the new set. They brought back the tunnel, kind of, not the exact same tunnel. The original TNA tunnel was kind of an upwards ramp, and there was like smoke in the tunnel. The tunnel was enclosed, and there was like lighting in the tunnel. This one was more just like the shell of a tunnel. I think I'd like to see that enclosed. Like maybe, again, maybe cover it and put some lights on the inside just to kind of add to the flavor of that a little more. But I like the look. It's different. It's kind of minimalist, but it's still dope because there's, again, not another wrestling show where you see that same type of setup. So I like it for that reason. Then they just got the one big video screen on the stage, which takes up most of the stage. They still play entrance videos, whereas WWE and AEW have kind of moved to just like a big graphic in the LED screen that's a little bit animated as the person walks out. But again, some people might say that by doing it this way, you're behind the times, but I disagree. I think this is actually, listen, a little bit of, not throwback. Throwback is probably too extreme of a way to describe it, but but doing it in a way that is still cool, right? With the highlight video package as the person is coming to the ring, again, that just makes your show look different. That makes your show look different. So I like doing as many things as you can do to be different, but still be high level in terms of production quality and all of that stuff. All right. So the main broadcast opened with the Knockouts title match, the Knockouts Ultimate X match. This was Giselle Shaw versus Tasha Steelz versus Dani Luna versus Zaya Brookside versus Jody Threat. Did I get everybody? Oh, versus Alicia. I think Alicia Edwards was in that one too. And so here's the thing. They had this great opening, right? The building, and if anybody was in the building, feel free to drop a comment and let me know what the atmosphere was like inside that building. Because one thing that happened that I did not love was they had this great, passionate opening. Then they announced the Knockouts Ultimate X match is about to start. They hit Tasha Steelz music, and it felt like crickets. It wasn't exactly crickets, but the level of the crowd went down significantly. And so, and by the way, I don't think that's Tasha Steelz's fault. I don't think that's Tasha Steelz's fault. And I'm going to say this. For every talent, I think you need to take your pop personally, right? The way that crowd reacts to you, you need to take that personally. You need to, don't blame anybody else. I'm going to contradict myself, but listen to what I'm saying here. If you're a talent, forget about how you're presented by the company, whether you're on a winning streak or a losing streak. Forget about all that stuff. As a talent, you got to take your pop personally. The way the crowd reacts to you, that's something that every talent needs to see as their responsibility. You want, when you hit that stage, if you're a good guy, you want the people cheering, standing on their feet, ready to ride with you to the ring through that match and watch you succeed. If you're a bad guy, you want them booing, you know, throwing things, cursing you out, just wanting so bad to see you lose. You got to drag that emotion out of people. The talent got to take that upon themselves. They got to find a way to connect with this crowd, because when your music hits and the people don't react, you got to take that upon yourself. Now, in the case of Tasha Steelz, I'm going to say that's actually not the case, right? Because if you watch Tasha Steelz come out, put the show on mute. Put the show on mute and watch Tasha Steelz come out during that Ultimate X match. You would think that the crowd is going nuts, giving her all the energy in the world because she is giving it out. She is, you know, she's dancing and hopping and talking her junk and getting ready to, you know, go into a fight. She was giving off the proper energy. But she hasn't been on TV that much, and they, from a production standpoint, have not done a whole lot to make you feel invested in Tasha Steelz's story. So when we see Tasha Steelz, who is an excellent performer, who is a former Knockouts champion, who is the greatest to beat the greatest, as she always says. Like, they got to promote that stuff. They got to push that stuff. Because every time she comes out, the fans need to feel attached to her, right? She's got time in Impact / TNA now, where this is going to be stuff that you're going to look back on. You're going to look back on the person who beat Mickey James when Mickey James was on one of her greatest runs, right? This is a big moment. You're going to look back on that, what was it, like a Knockouts Knockdown. It was like a one-night tournament. And they built that show kind of around Tasha Steelz. I think she won 3 matches that night. She got to cut 2 or 3 backstage promos. And I thought she was excellent in all of that. So Tasha Steelz doesn't need to prove to me how good she is, right? She doesn't need, to anybody who's been watching the product, Tasha Steelz doesn't need to prove how good she is. But I do think that the company has to do more to promote her. But also, if you're Tasha Steelz, you still got to find a way to go above and beyond and do more to get more heat on yourself, because you are bringing it from a performance standpoint, but you just got to find a way to pique people's interest for those times when you're not on the stage. Because again, like, you're doing it, you're doing all you can do once you're on TV. But if they're not doing nothing to help you, you got to do more to make yourself pop. All right. So that's just my little thoughts on that, because I just think, again, that moment to me, it just felt like a gut punch, because you had all this excitement for the open, and then the match gets started, Tasha Steelz gets on the stage, and I just felt the energy. The energy didn't meet the energy she was given. And to me, that's a problem. There should be more respect for her. And again, I don't blame the crowd, right? If I'm giving you a TV show and I got a great performer, I want to get you excited for that great performer. So from a storytelling standpoint, from a build standpoint, that's something where TNA's just got to do better. You got to take your time and build these characters better so that the audience cares about them, right? Because you can get better reactions from the crowd, and that makes your whole product look better. When people are standing on their feet, cheering, clapping, stomping, when people are doing stuff, that makes your whole product feel more exciting. It makes it look better. As far as how this match played out, I thought everybody came out of this match looking good. Everybody came out of this match looking stronger. Everybody came out of this match looking better. There were some misses on some spots, right? Like, there was one where Giselle Shaw tried to jump off somebody's back and do a spear. She didn't quite miss it. She didn't quite jump far enough and kind of just pulled the person down. And that felt a little weird. There were a few spots that were a little clunky. But I think for the most part, right, like, everybody came out, the action was great. If there was a standout to me, there was a couple. One, Xia Brookside. Xia Brookside, to me, I had never seen Xia Brookside wrestle before, at least not to my knowledge. I may have seen her before, and I just didn't know it was her. But she completely caught my eye. And here's why. Because she's young, she's athletic, she's in great shape. She's someone that you need to give a lot of TV time to. She looks like somebody who should be in NXT, to be honest with you. Like, she's got the whole look. She looks like somebody who WWE would love to have, okay? And the fact that you have her now, you need to use her and make her feel and seem like a big, big deal, because she's the type of talent that TNA fans can get behind and call their own. I also thought there was great showings from Jody Threat and Danny Luna. Now, I got to give Jody Threat some credit here. I got to give Jody Threat some applause, because prior to this, I had seen Jody Threat, and the only thing I could think about was that video of where Athena was just beating the shit out of her in this match. It went viral, right? Because people were offended because they thought that the match was just a little too rough, a little too hard. And that's the only thing I knew Jody Threat for. So I had seen her have a couple of matches in TNA, but they hadn't really done anything to build her up. And I thought she had a great performance in this match. Like, there's a part where she was climbing up the ramp, and up the little ladder on the side to get up to the rope to climb across, and Alicia Edwards was hanging on her back. She did another couple of things that I thought was really cool too. But Jody Threat, had, I thought, a great performance in this match. So shout out to Jody Threat. She did great. And Dani Luna, she's a powerhouse. And this match really felt like the Knockouts division as a whole has been reset. And we can really look forward to fresh matchups and fresh rivalries all throughout 2024. So shout out to you guys for that. This looks dope. Giselle Shaw got the win. Now, I'm happy to see Giselle Shaw get the win. And I'm going to tell you why. I saw Giselle Shaw win a match on TNA a few weeks ago, a few months ago. She won a match on Impact. And she jumped down and banged the mat and got up. And she was like, yeah. And dog, when is the last time you saw somebody in Impact win a match and be that excited about it? She cares about being a big deal in this company. And I love it. You love to see it. I love that passion, man. I remember this had to be like 2008, 2009, something like that. I went to go see a taping of SmackDown. It came to the arena in Bridgeport, close to where I live. And Miz was in a tag team with John Morrison. And I remember when the Miz came out and he hit the stage, he just came out with such passion. He came through the curtain and you could just tell that it meant a lot to him to be there in that spot, in that moment. And that passion comes through. That passion resonates with the fans. And Giselle Shaw gives off that kind of passion. And if you are an Impact fan, if you are a TNA fan, then this is the type of person you need to get behind. I'm telling you, get behind Giselle Shaw. And she's a bad guy, so don't get behind her too much. I'm a big fan of booing the bad guys, okay? Boo the bad guys. Don't cheer for the bad guys. But get behind Giselle Shaw. So, you know, support what she's doing. Pay attention to what she's doing because she has a passion for TNA. She wants to be good in TNA. And I'm telling you, this is the type of person that is going to push the whole division forward if she gets a lead role. So shout out to Giselle Shaw. Congratulations on winning the Knockouts Ultimate X Max. I think this is going to be a big, big year for Giselle Shaw. We got to look back at AJ Francis's altercation with Joe Hendry from the pre-show. And for those of you guys who didn't see it, DJ Who Kid came out with AJ Francis. They were debuting their new single, We Outside. And Joe Hendry decided to debut his own video where he's making fun of Top Dollar. Joe Hendry is really great at making these insult videos where he'll make fun of something that somebody did in WWE. And he does it all in a really funny way. He puts a song to it and he makes like a catchy little chorus to it. And it all feels a lot like a lot of fun. So he did this to AJ Francis. And as Joe Hendry was standing there admiring his work, DJ Who Kid snuck up on him with the laptop, hit Joe Hendry in the back. Then AJ Francis grabbed him and chokeslammed Joe Hendry into a pile of Cheez-Its. How embarrassing. How embarrassing for you, Joe Hendry. You got Cheez-Its all over your back and down your shirt. That sucks for you. and so then after this, they cut back to a promo that AJ Francis and DJ Who Kid did backstage, but the sound was low and I couldn't hear it. So yes, production gaffe to start the year. New year, new me, TNA. Let's do better. We can do better than that. All right, next up was a scheduled match between PCO and Dirty Dango. Dirty Dango came out with Alpha Bravo, and I think his name is Brutus, the old Vladimir Kozlov. So I like PCO's entrance. PCO came out on a hospital bed, covered in a sheet, and he was being worked on by doctors or scientists. And then he came to life after being shocked by electricity. Then Tom Hannifin announced on commentary that this is the highest attended event for TNA in almost 8 years. So shout out to them. We'll have a little more on that later. There was some more commentary on that type of stuff that we'll talk about later. So early in the match, Bravo interfered by grabbing PCO's leg as he was about to do a moonsault. That made this match a DQ. Then all of the bad guys get into the ring, and then Rhino's music hits. Rhino comes out to help PCO. Then Santino Marella comes out, and he says this now be a six-man with PCO, Rhino, and their partner, Jake Something. So then Jake Something comes running down to the ring, and he jumps. He runs down the ramp, and when he gets to the ring, he jumps over the top rope into a clothesline on Bravo and Brutus. And I thought that was really dope. So this was a fun match. PCO got the win with a moonsault. I did think this match was a little too long. I was like, you know, this match, you know, this is a pay-per-view. Let's move on to the good stuff. I thought they gave a little too much time to this match. But whatever, it was fine. No harm. And PCO got the win with a moonsault, so that was cool. All right, then we see the arrival of a mystery woman getting out of the back of a fancy car. She gets out, and you just see, you know, this very nice dress. You see this, you know, very kind of fancy looking hair, and but we don't know who it is. We only see her from behind, and she's with Iceman, and he's walking her into the building. Okay. Then we get a flashback, not a flashback, but just a look back at the pre-show again. We see Steve Maclin defeating Rich Swann. Shout out to Rich Swann for rocking the gear that was a tribute to Flash Funk. Okay. Too Cold Scorpio, the legend. Probably my first favorite wrestler. That was dope. I don't know what to say except that was dope. That was dope. I loved seeing the Flash Funk tribute, the Too Cold Scorpio tribute. Okay, like I said, Too Cold was one of my original favorite wrestlers. Man, I remember watching WCW Saturday Night back in the day, and I just thought Too Cold was ahead of his time. Man, he was just a great, great talent. So Rich Swann had the gear that was a pretty much a replica of the gear Too Cold wore when he became Flash Funk in WWE. And I thought that was like really, really dope. So shout out to Rich Swann. But Maclin got the win. And so then we came out to Maclin with a promo with Gia Miller and, you know, typical stuff. Tag him, bag him, mayhem for all. Some people love Maclin. I still think he's pretty boring. But I gotta say, I like the fact that they made him a world champion, okay? In retrospect, now that we have lived through it, I'm happy that Maclin was a world champion and still in Impact and is still being booked strongly because that gives him credibility. That's one thing that they actually never did for Rich Swann. Rich Swann had his title run, lost to Kenny Omega, and then Rich Swann hasn't been booked strongly since. They haven't treated Rich Swann like a former world champion or anybody of any strength or status ever since he lost that title to Kenny Omega. So I'm glad to see that they're actually, you know, using the equity that you create by making someone a world champion by continuing to book Steve Maclin in a strong way. Shout out to everybody who's in the chat, everybody who's stopping by. Go ahead and hit that thumbs up button. Drop a like on the video for your boy. Okay. Next, we got Scott D'Amore coming out on the stage with the president of AAA Lucha Libre, Dorian Rodan Pena. Shout out to me for saying that right. Dorian Rodan Pena. Okay, Dorian Rodan Pena. And they announced they played a video of TNA wrestlers working with AAA wrestlers, and they signed a paper saying that they're entering into a partnership. What this partnership means, who knows, right? Why this had to be something that required a public contract signing, who knows, right? But Scott D'Amore did say that I can't think of a better match to showcase what happens when you put politics aside and let the best wrestlers compete against each other, which I feel like, by the way, was a little shot at Tony Khan. Yes, yes, yes. Don't get me started on the way that the whole AEW Impact relationship worked out, but there was absolutely some politics involved in there that which did not play out in TNA's favor. But I think in the long term, just to talk about this really quickly, in the long term, I think we can all admit now that it was a benefit to TNA to work with AEW at that time. They got use of Kenny Omega. You know, we know now that Kenny Omega was working very injured throughout that time. But the fact that Impact was in a working relationship with AEW for a long time, I really think that reestablished Impact into the conversation amongst the, you know, mainstream wrestling fans as a viable option, as a viable place to work, as something that wasn't just a joke, and as something that was a little above the level of an MLW. And that's no disrespect to MLW, but I'm just saying, having this working relationship, I think that that was important. I think that added some level of viability for TNA in the eyes of many fans. The AEW fans are really comprised of, you know, American New Japan fans, the leftovers of Ring of Honor fans, and all of that stuff. So AEW has probably the second biggest following right now. And so even though Kenny Omega ran through the Impact roster and Sammy Guevara thought he could just come over and call his own shots and all of that stuff, all of the potential negatives that you could say, Deonna Purrazzo, you know, was like an undefeated champ, the champ. And then as soon as Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor, they jobbed her out to Mercedes Martinez. Oh, gosh. Yeesh. Yeah. So there was a lot of politics involved with the way that Impact wrestlers were handled in the working relationship with AEW. So I don't think that there was no intention behind Scott D'Amore saying, this is what happens when you put politics aside and let the best wrestlers compete against each other. And as soon as he said that, the music of El Hijo del Vikingo hit. And then we got the X Division title match, Chris Sabin versus Kushida versus El Hijo del Vikingo. Swig of coffee for the working man.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
All right, so this was a great match. Listen, typical X Division stuff, and I don't say that to downplay it, but there was too much action, too many spots for me to call. This was very fast-paced, very hard-hitting. And this, if you like the X Division style, if you like fast-paced, you know, minimal selling, lots of flippy-dippy, this was for you. Chris Sabin got the win. The legend of the X Division, the 10-time X Division champ, Chris Sabin, came out on top, and this was great. All right, up next, we got Josh Alexander versus Alex Hammerstone. Now, I gotta say, I was really looking forward to this. I was really looking forward to this because I had never seen Alex Hammerstone, but, you know, I saw clips of him online. I know he was the MLW champion for a long time. And when you look at this guy, right, he looks like somebody that we have been conditioned to see as a star in pro wrestling. He's a white dude, big jacked up muscles, definitely could not pass a drug test. Shout out to him. But the crowd was definitely into this. And that is the most important thing. The crowd was 100% into this. And Alex Hammerstone blew up really quick. I mean, Alex Hammerstone was out of breath very, very, very quickly. And it was fun, though. Like, I mean, listen, I don't think it took away from the match at all because Josh Alexander is a super duper star. Josh Alexander is the type of cat that can carry a match. Josh Alexander is that perfect mix of power and speed and agility. Like, he really is a total package type of wrestler. So you got to give it up to Josh Alexander. I thought Josh Alexander carried this match. I'm not trying to downplay Alex Hammerstone, but what I am saying is that Josh Alexander wrestled circles around that man. Give it up for Josh Alexander. He wrestled circles around that man. There's a quality of wrestler, okay? And I'm not the wrestling police. I can't stress this enough. I'm not the work rate guy or the moves, all that. Like, that's not me. That's not how I watch wrestling. But you can watch Josh Alexander work, and you watch him work against Alex Hammerstone, and you just know that there's a different level of talent at play. Hammerstone looks great. He actually reminds me of Batista, right? The great look with the muscles. But He gets winded quick, and his matches should probably be short. I remember watching Batista against The Undertaker at a WrestleMania match. Again, big, huge match. But at one point, Batista just, you know, he was kind of blown up. And Undertaker, you know, still felt like he was going strong. And it kind of felt like Undertaker was trying to, you know, pull Batista along a little bit towards the end of that match. Again, I love Batista. I'm a big fan of his work. Thank you, Batista, for all the great years and years and years of entertainment that you provided, brother. Okay? But the brother gets blown up during match sometime. It is what it is. And I saw some of that here with Alex Hammerstone. Josh Alexander got the win clean, as he should have. Josh Alexander did the job for Will Ospreay last year, and I was pissed. I was pissed about it because I thought Josh Alexander, look, that's TNA's hood ornament, okay? That's the guy. He's their best wrestler, hands down. The resume is impeccable. And so for him to do a clean job to Will Ospreay, I thought that was very giving of Scott D'Amore. I thought that was very giving of Josh Alexander. And it's one of those things, he seems like the kind of guy you would protect in the way that AEW protects a Kenny Omega. So when you bring in a big name free agent and you put him in the ring with your best guy should go over. You got to protect your own guys. So Josh Alexander got the win clean in the middle with the C4 spike. Quality match. Josh Alexander doesn't have bad matches. And yeah, that's the way it should have went. So shout out to Hammerstone. I'd like to see more of him in Impact. But going forward, just keep the matches short, man. Keep the matches short and let him, you know, display his power. I'd like to see them build to a Hammerstone Jake something match. That could be fun. Two big meaty men slapping meat. It's kind of gross. Up next, we had the four-way tag team title match. It was the ABC versus the Rascals versus the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Mike Bailey and Laredo Kid. And once again, this was too much action to call. I'm not going to sit here and try to go move for move and describe it to you because it was just too much. But what I can tell you is that this was amazing. This was amazing. Fast-paced. All the flippy-dippy. There was one part where, oh my God, Trey Miguel ran across the ring and did if you ever seen, what's that move from high school track? It's like when you go backwards over the bar. He did that over the ropes and went to catch somebody in like a cutter or a hurricane rana. It was crazy. The match was outstanding. The action was phenomenal. And ABC versus the Rascals, okay, is going to be the basis of this division going forward. But what I think they need is probably two or three more teams so that these same two teams don't have to just keep fighting each other. But Rascals and ABC, to me, this is what you build your division around, okay? This is the rebirth of TNA. You need people to play those important roles. So Rascals versus ABC, this can be your beer money. This can be your Motor City Machine Guns, right? Like your teams that are the centerpiece of your division and you build around them. So you have the Rascals doing something. You have ABC doing something. You have them fighting for the titles or not fighting for the titles. Bring in other teams for them to fight. But these two teams are stars. Both of these two teams are stars. You need to keep these teams apart, bring them together at big occasions, and feature these teams, right? Like, don't just throw them out there and say, hey, go fill 10, 15 minutes and do some flippy dippy. Like, build up the characters. Let me see some vignettes on what the Rascals are doing, all right? Like, make us care about the Rascals as characters. Let us see what ABC looks like when they're outside of the club. When they're outside of the Impact Zone. When they're in there, like, who are these dudes in their characters' personal lives or whatever, right? Like, build up these characters so that we care about them. A great example of this is if you watch NXT, they do these, you know, stupid little skits with, like, they got this team of these two dudes that are ex-football players, and, you know, they present these guys, like, these guys are both from the hood, right? So, you know, they'll like film something with them driving around the hood and just like, you know, talking like, oh man, yeah, you know what it was like, you know, we was coming up out the mud, you know, we do this and we do that. Like, you know, but it builds the character, right? It gives you a sense of who these guys are, right? The Tony D'Angelo and Stacks, right? Like they do the skits where they bring the other people and, you know, oh, we're going to have a sit down and we're all, you know, all of this. And, you know, like all of this stuff is important because that makes you care about more than just the wrestling. They can do the wrestling. We know they can do the wrestling. In this new era of TNA, I want to see more build of the characters. Give me more build of the characters. Make me care about these people. This is the same thing I was saying about Tasha Steelz. We should have more feeling for Tasha Steelz because when she hits that stage, she's giving us 10, right? She's giving us 10 out of 10. She's giving us everything she can give once she hits the stage. Some of that has got to be on the writing. Some of that has got to be on the production. Some of that has got to be on the presentation, okay? So this is another group of guys, and you'll see this throughout TNA. There are some people that can do more to give you, to make you care. And there's some people that are doing all they can, okay? So in some cases, the production's gotta do more. They gotta build more of these characters. And I think in the case of the Rascals, in the case of ABC, they need to make us fall in love with these two teams because I think these two acts can be the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're a tag team act, but they are a centerpiece of why people are coming to see this show. I think that's totally what they have in these two teams. By the way, didn't mention that, but the ABC won they won clean with their finish with the A. What do they call it? The AB2 suite? Or I don't know. It's like the fold into the Art of Finesse, and Chris Bay got the pin, and I think he might have pinned one of the Rascals. But great match. Give it up for all of these dudes in this match. It was outstanding. I'm interested to see what the Grizzled Young Vets are going to do. They got to build it up. They got to build it up with these guys because I'm just used to seeing them as background players on NXT, but I'm interested in what they can do, right? So I want to see what these dudes got, what they're going to bring to the table. All right. So we're getting into the main events. Up next, the Knockouts title match between Trinity and Jordynne Grace. There was a nice video package that they had before this match started. It was the it was a buildup of everything that happened with Trinity and Jordynne Grace before this event, and it did a good job of setting the stage for what we're gonna see in this match. You got to see the history of Trinity. You got to see the history of Jordynne Grace. And you got to see why this match is a big deal, you know, for both of these ladies coming into the match. Now, thanks to all the information that's circulating around the internet, we got to see, we kind of know coming into this match that Trinity is going to be returning to WWE soon. And that, this is probably going to be one of her last matches. And so, hold on a second. What's up, buddy? Okay, I got guest stars on the pod here. You having fun? You guys want to talk about the wrestling show?
No!
Oh, you guys are so cool. You guys are so cool. All right. If you guys like kids, drop some likes in the chat. So, we got to see Trinity and Jordynne Grace. And hold on one second. Guys, look, daddy's streaming. What are we? Okay, can we go wait for daddy? Daddy be done in just a second. Sure, you can watch. That's fine. Okay, all right.
No.
Oh boy. Okay. We're gonna go into a little break here. Hold on. One second. And that is the value of going live, people. That is the value of going live. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get on a live stream. If anybody... yeah, we're back. We are back. We are back. All right. So, all right. So, Trinity and Jordan Grace was the semi-main event. And because of all the information that's floating around out there, we had an idea that Trinity is going to be leaving and heading back to WWE soon. So that kind of, you know, gives away what was going to happen here, right? We had a great, great idea that Jordan Grace was probably going to be winning here. So there was big cheers for Trinity during the intros of the match. Jordan Grace got most of the offense early. She was really just, you know, just whooping on Trinity, man. She was like really, just really putting all the offense on Trinity. And I thought their styles actually really meshed together much better than Trinity and Deonna Purrazzo. Trinity had, I think, two or three matches with Deonna Purrazzo, and their styles just really didn't work well together, I think, because Deonna Purrazzo is much more of like a mat technician. You know, the holds and the moves and the fluidity is just all, that's her style. Jordan Grace is much more of a power move type of wrestler. Trinity is much more of a big move type of wrestler. And so I think their styles work together much better. So I thought this was a good contrast watching Trinity and Jordan, you know, go against each other. Jordan Grace definitely felt like she was working heel at a lot of points during this match. Little things like she would have Trinity in a hold and the ref would have Jordan break the hold and she would give Trinity a kick, you know, after she was supposed to break the hold, little stuff like that. Watching these matches, I'm always scared that Trinity's wig is going to come off. I know. I'm always scared it's going to come off watching it. And I'm just sitting there watching it. I'm very happy whenever it doesn't actually come off. There's a lot of close calls as the match goes on. Jordan Grace won clean in the middle with the Grace driver. The two had a big hug after the end of the match. And Trinity is on to bigger and better things. I'm sure the way that Impact usually books these things, she'll ask for her rematch right away and she'll lose. And then she'll probably spend the rest of her time with the company doing jobs for any and everybody, which I think it's just not the best way to get people out. You know what I mean? I just think they could have, what I would do in the aftermath of a long reigning champion like Trinity losing the title, I would have Trinity go on another winning streak. You could have her go on another winning streak to build to her rematch with Jordan Grace. Have us thinking that this is going to be, you know, there's a potential that Trinity could be winning the title back. And then, you know, when she loses, she's out, and that's the last time we see her. But I just think after, you know, again, going back to Rich Swann, they have a habit of once somebody loses the title, that they just, they do away their rematch really quickly, and then they just don't do anything with them. I think they just can do so much better by, you know, by not blowing off the rematches so quickly. So anyway, that's what's probably going to happen with Trinity. And I look forward to seeing her hopefully at the Royal Rumble. Maybe. We'll see. All right. Time for the main event. We had a TNA World title match with Moose and Alex Shelley. So Moose came out with his new group, The System, which is himself, Brian Myers, Alicia Edwards, Eddie Edwards, and D'Angelo Hall was with them. Former NFL running back D'Angelo Hall, who had that great running match, at Slammiversary. What was that, like five, six years ago? But that match was a lot of fun. But we haven't seen him back in TNA since then. But he's apparently, is he going to be a part of this group or is he not? Who knows? We shall find out. But he was there tonight. So the group came out with Moose. And then once Moose walked down to the ring, the group walked back. Then Alex Shelley and Kushida came out along with Chris Sabin. Alex Shelley was defending the title. So Alex Shelley came out, and Chris Sabin and Kushida came out with him. Then once Alex Shelley walked down to the ring, Kushida and Chris Sabin walked back to the locker room. So that was just to let the crowd know that Shelley had backup in case Moose's friends wanted to come try and interfere in the match. Okay. This was a solid match, okay? But the problem I had with this is that the crowd was not engaged for much of this match in the way that they should be for a main event. Why is that? Why do you think that is? No, I'm just kidding. No conspiracy theory. But for a main event match, the crowd should be on their feet, living and dying with every punch, every clothesline, every chokehold, every near fall. The crowd needs to be into it. I didn't feel that for this match. The match itself was good. Again, Alex Shelley doesn't have bad matches, okay? Moose, very quality wrestler. He doesn't have a lot of bad matches himself. There were little production issues that were annoying. Like, we got a shot of Alex Shelley drinking water while he was laying on the floor. And the director in the truck has to see that and say, don't go to that shot, right? Like, it's little things like that. I would hear Eric Bischoff talk about these type of things, how, like, working for Turner, you had Turner Sports produce the Nitros based on wherever they were on the road. So that means they never had the same director. They never had the same crew, right? So if you have somebody who's an NBA director, then it's cool to show the star sitting on the bench getting a drink of water during a timeout. But if you don't understand wrestling, you don't understand the crowd's not supposed to see that. That's why he's laying on the floor damn near under the ring, drinking a bottle of water and throwing it back under the ring. We're not supposed to see that kind of stuff. But when you don't have your own crew, right, who knows the business, knows the show, knows how it's supposed to be shot, knows how it's supposed to be presented, knows how it's supposed to look, then you're going to get production mess-ups like that. So there's little things like that that I would like to see get better going forward. The closing sequence was a series of counters leading to Moose bouncing off the ropes and hitting a spear on Alex Shelley, pinned him clean, 1-2-3 for the win. Moose is your new TNA world champion. Moose is your new TNA world champion. Good for him. Good for him. We're happy for Moose. And after the match, right, he didn't get long to celebrate because while the system comes out on the stage to congratulate Moose on his big win, Nick Nemeth's music hits, and the system is looking at the tunnel getting ready for Nick Nemeth to come out. They want to jump him and beat him up, but we cut back to the ring, and we see Nick Nemeth, the former Dolph Ziggler, has appeared in the ring behind Moose. He turns around and drops Moose with a super kick and a zigzag. Then he runs off into the crowd and rips off his shirt underneath to reveal a TNA shirt as we go off the air with the crowd cheering around Nick Nemeth. So that was good. Listen, top to bottom, I thought it was a good show. It was a good show. There was no bad matches on the show. There was no, like, you know, severe head-scratching things on the show. There was nothing bad on the show. And honestly, I think the biggest pat on the back here has to go to the whole crowd, has to go to Scott D'Amore, to everybody in management. This was a long time coming. And according to PW Insider, Hard to Kill was not only the largest live attendance for the promotion in many years, but we're told it's the largest live gate for the company in a decade. Shout out to them. Also, the following night, the Snake Eyes TV tapings was the company's best live TV gate in the history of the company. And certainly since Anthem took over several years ago and possibly even further back, and the company morale is said to be through the roof. So shout out to those guys again, man. This is really, really dope, really, really dope. I think there's so many people that have just wanted to see this for a long time. I'm happy for all of the production. I'm happy for, you know, Scott D'Amore took over this job a long time ago. It was a job you could probably say nobody wanted. And a job certainly nobody was able to do right. You know, Jeff Jarrett came in a couple times, tried to do it. You know, Nobody was able to come in and do it right. The last time Jeff Jarrett came in and tried to take over, I knew this was not going to work. When he came in, he started calling up all his old wrestling buddies and told them, come get a check. That's when we had the clip of Bruce Pritchard going, TNA is dead, right? Like, we had that clip, and all of that stuff came. Dutch Mantel was there. Jim Cornette was there. All of these guys just came in real quick because Jeff Jarrett got a hold of it, and he told everybody, yo, come get a check. Come get a check. And I knew that cronyism was not going to work. Scott D'Amore took this thing over, and as much as all of the Impact fans hated it, he took it slowly but surely, building it up, building this thing up little by little by little. This is what all of the Impact fans wanted. This is what we wanted to see coming out of the quarantine. Impact was the last company to have fans back in the building. They were taping at Skyway Studios for what seemed like forever, even after other companies were back to having fans in the building and touring, and even AEW was at Daly's place, but they had the wrestlers around the ring, and the TNA product just felt so weird and quiet and dead. It was awful. It was awful. And then the whole Tessa Blanchard thing happened. And that, by the way, was like the biggest example of something that could have been great and went horribly wrong. But they didn't let that slow them down, right? Like, this company, TNA, is truly hard to kill, man. Truly hard to kill, because they have been through all of these things over and over and over again. All of the setbacks, all of the things that should have taken them down, right? All of the things that should have taken them down, but none of it worked. You know what I mean? None of it worked. And so, like, you got to give this company credit. This was the, this was the payoff, right? This is the payoff that so many people have just waited for so long. And I'm really happy for all these guys involved. I'm really happy for all the wrestlers. I'm happy for the Josh Alexanders, right? Who was carrying the company with, you know, match after match after match, when they were just putting this guy out there to have, you know, these crazy matches with the Joe Dorings of the world. Shout out to Joe Doring. Hope he's getting better. Just having matches where he just had to just carry this company. And, like, there was a run there where Josh Alexander was having a great match that would be the only high point of a show. And for the guy who was being the hood ornament of a company that was trying to build itself back up, for Scott D'Amore, for reshuffling this roster many, many, many times, for taking the big step when they first came in to get rid of the Bobby Lashleys and the EC3s and the Eli Drakes, the guys who thought they were tired of it, right? They were tired of all the repackaging and the promises and the late paychecks and all of that stuff. And by the time that Scott D'Amore and Don Callis took over, these guys were tired of it. They were done with it. And Scott D'Amore said, hey, one monkey don't stop, no show. And he let all them guys go, brought in all new guys. They have reshuffled this roster multiple times over. And it was all to get to a point like what we saw on Saturday night. These guys deserve a lot of credit. They deserve a lot of applause. That was really, really awesome. I would say that we are at a point now where the possibilities with TNA, they seem endless, right? Nick Nemeth, we got a question in the chat. Impact 88, what's up, man? Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. Shout out to you. Shout out to you. Said, do you think Nick Nemeth wins the world title at Rebellion? And to that, I say, I hope not. I hope not. I think Nick Nemeth needs to work his way up. Much the way that Brian Myers and Matt Cardona really had to reinvent themselves when they came to Impact. I want to see that from Nick Nemeth. Right now, to me, Nick Nemeth is a big name, right? Somebody who was in WWE for years, would still be in WWE if they, you know, didn't release him, and will probably go back to WWE again as soon as they call him. I want to see this company build around stars that that the Impact fans know and love. And you know what? There's a chance that Nick Nemeth could be, excuse me, this generation's Christian Cage. He could be that WWE star who never quite got to ascend to the top in WWE, and he comes and shows the world that he can be a top star in TNA. That could happen. But right now, I don't see it. I'm not sold on it. And I think the goal should always be for this regime of TNA to build up the TNA guys. So if you bring in guys who were in WWE or in AEW or somewhere else and have a big name, cool, bring those guys in, showcase them. But they should always, ultimately, be losing to a TNA guy. They should ultimately be losing to a TNA guy. If you want to bring in Nick Nemeth, that's fine. Build him up. Let him go on a great run. He should lose to Moose. He should not be beating Moose, Josh Alexander, you know, Trey Miguel. Like, you should have your list of protected guys. And these outsiders should not be beating them, okay? I'm excited to see what happens with Alexander and Ospreay Part 2 coming up this week on Impact. I think, I hope Josh Alexander gets his win back. But that last match was really good. I've never been much for the dream match. Like, I just want to see these two guys wrestle. But the last time I saw Josh Alexander and Will Ospreay wrestle, it was pretty dope. And so if they top that this time, then I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. So that's pretty dope, man. That's pretty dope. I think there's potential for big, big things on the way for TNA in 2024. And yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. All right. I'm about to get out of here because my kids are restless. As you guys saw, they came down and interfered in my stream. And I can't leave my babies alone. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That's all I got for you. Please hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the share button. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time, I'm TW. Peace out.